You're listening to Talk of the Town with host Juke Van Os. You may email Juke at juke.vanos@whtc.com or call now, 395-1450.
And this is Dave Ageman sitting in for Juke Van Os. And just remember, folks, you're not taxed too little or just spending too much. Remember that you're losing your freedom one law at a time and you're losing your income one tax at a time. My next guest on the show today is Todd Corser. He actually ran for the chairman of the Republican Party against Bobby Shostak and lost by a mere 32 votes. He has in some intention, but we're not sure yet, he might run for the lieutenant governor slot in the state of Michigan. So I thought it'd be nice to have him come on. Todd, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. If you just give me a little background. What do you do? I mean, what's your degree in, and what are you running right now?
Well, I was an accountant first. I've lived in Lapeer my whole life, and then I went to law school. So my practice is split between accounting and my legal practice, and just have been in that town from really my birth. I grew up on a farm, and I'm married with four children, and we homeschool our kids.
Oh, very good. My daughter just started homeschooling because she was just getting a little upset with what they're teaching in some of the public schools. Not to say public schools are all bad, but she just wanted to make sure the kids that get their morals and the principles that the parents really want in their head instead of the school.
Absolutely. Homeschooling isn't for everybody, but when it's done well and the parents are dedicated to the education of their children, there really isn't a comparison when it comes to how the children turn out.
Just an off note there, I just want you to know that I was I ran the Air Force Academy liaison officer position. I was commander of that, and I got the first homeschooler in the state of Michigan in the Air Force Academy. He had the highest SAT scores of anybody I ever had, and he was a homeschooler. And at first they didn't take him, and then later they decided to take him. They said he wasn't well-rounded. It was kind of a joke how he got in. They said he wasn't well-rounded. He should be involved with something like Civil Air Patrol. I said, well, I think he is. He said, well, it's not on his record. So I called the kid up. He says, are you joined Civil Air Patrol? He joined it the next day. I called the Air Force Academy. Said, he is in Civil Air Patrol. Because of that, they accepted him. Go figure. But anyway, let's get back on a topic here. There's a lot of rumors out there that you've been doing a lot of things since you ran against Bobby Shostak as a chairman. What have you been doing? What are you thinking about doing? Is there any truth to the rumor you may be running for the lieutenant governor slot?
I'll tell you, there's been a lot of rumors around me, and I can't even tell if that one's true myself. to be serious, there is some truth. We are going through sort of the calculation of it and considering whether or not there is a way to move forward. You know that Brian Calley is lieutenant governor now. And the way that you select a lieutenant governor is through the convention process,
which
the delegates, yeah. So the party has a state convention, which will happen the end of August of 2014, and at that state convention, they'll select various people to be on the general ticket, which will be the attorney general, the secretary of state, the lieutenant governor, the regents for U of M, the MSU, the two for the MSU board. Two for Wayne State, and then also two for the State Board of Education. So at that convention is where the decision is made as to which direction we go as a party in selecting the lieutenant governor slot.
Okay. So are you leaning towards that, or you're not sure yet? When will you make up your mind, or don't you know?
I've kind of sat down with my family and also really just going through and praying about it, and also going through the strategic steps of does it work? Right now, we have a situation where we have a governor and a lieutenant governor that really have separated from the platform of the party. And I believe that that really affects the brand. And that really is what caused me to come out and run for the state party chair. And when we did that, it really was an attempted coup of the state party. And we weren't supposed to get any votes, and we came out just 32 votes short. Which was kind of crazy because we had 75 people that the night before went home thinking we had already lost it. So we had certainly the momentum on our side. For whatever reason, we just, we came up short in that situation. But I believe that it's important for the party. If it has a brand, it's to protect the brand. And if you have a primary process, the reason you have a primary process is to be able to go through and essentially to reconfirm that the candidates represent where the party is and where it stands. And the lieutenant governor supported the MVT and the surcharge on the MVT and also was a big advocate for the Medicaid expansion, which is obviously an extension of the Obamacare plan. And also in the background, he was against the bridge, and now he's for the bridge when he's under this governor. So if he is conservative, and I'm not questioning his, he says he's conservative, but it appears to be more a conservatism by convenience rather than conviction. And I believe that really affects the brand. It destroys the brand of the party when you have people who are supporting you when you're saying you're conservative, and then you get to the office, and then your integrity is not there to stand for those things. And in our state, we've just seen the lieutenant governor to be sort of a really just an extension of the governor. And in other states, that is not the situation. In other states, there actually is that there can be that divided government where you have the governor and the lieutenant governor. And obviously, myself being a 100% social and fiscal conservative both, that at times would be different than the governor's position. But, you know, even in some states, they have separate parties. You can be the governor. Mike Huckabee is the most notable one.
Right.
And he you know, was elected as lieutenant governor as a Republican and had a Democrat as the governor. And they actually nailed or screwed his door shut.
Three-inch screws.
Screwed his door shut and refused to let him take up offices. And he had to get a court order to get him to open it up. So in our state, that, you know, we've done it a little differently. We'd like to see, obviously, myself, I'd like to see that the party and the platform and the brand are advocated by the top leadership positions in our state. And that's my reason for considering it.
I think that's great, Todd. Todd and I are good friends. We've known each other for quite a bit, and I respect him as a person and his religious convictions and so forth. But I'd like to tell the people out there, when the MBT and the surcharge passed, I was in the legislature, and I sat right next to several people that voted for it. One of them was the lieutenant governor. And I said, this is a bad bill because you're going to tax people on their gross receipts, not on the profits. Therefore, what companies are going to do is say, what, I want to move to Michigan. I may have a $20 million business, lose $1 million, and still owe the state about $500,000. We have a caller here, Fred from Holland. You're on, Fred.
Yes. Your guest is talking about Republican brand. I've been Republican for 70 years. But it seems to me that in the last 8, 10, 12 years, and especially now, the only thing we're representing is damning the other party. I think it's time to get the message out of what Republicans stand for again, instead of only denouncing others. I got the questionnaire from the National Republican Party. There was 11 times where it referred to Obama and, this bad. What are you standing for? The brand is shot, as far as I'm concerned.
I appreciate your call there. Since I'm the Republican National Committee man, I can probably answer some of those questions. And I wanted to make sure that was perfectly clear what we stood for. So I posted on my last newsletter a contrast between our party platform and the Democrat Party platform. And I think you're right. We need to stand up for certain issues. When I went down to Los Angeles, in February or so, for the RNC meeting, we passed what they call the core principles, which show a great difference between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. For example, we believe our rights come from God, and it's the government's job to protect those rights. We believe, and that's the opposite of the Democrat Party, who tried to remove God from any the mention of God from their platform. We believe in the right to life, sanctity of life. They believe in abortion all the way to the end. We believe, obviously, in your Second Amendment rights. They're trying to take your guns away. We believe in traditional marriage, not homosexual marriage. And we believe in legal immigration, not illegal immigration. Those are the five core principles I wanted to emphasize so people can see there is a big difference between the two parties. But you're right. We bash one and bash the other. I don't like to think that we're conservatives and liberals. I'd rather say we're common sense and non-common sense, because you cannot continue to spend the way the Democrats want to spend and have this country stay solvent. We will look like Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. So the brand that I think Todd's talking about, and I'll let him explain what he thinks that should be, I just want us to stick to our principles. As Colonel West spoke at that meeting at the RNC, former congressman, he said we should stand like a rock in the middle of a stream, a fast-flowing stream, on our principles. Yes, we can negotiate, but when it comes to principles, we're not going to go ahead and move. And that's been my goal as an RNC man. What do you think, Todd?
I couldn't agree more. Thank you, Fred, for the call. I would just tell you in regards to that, you know, what we have is we have a party that really is trying to walk away from its conservatism, because in reality, when its actions are in complete contradiction to that, they essentially look like the hypocrites. And it doesn't do them any justice to continue to advocate and use conservatism as a touch word to be able to win a certain segment of the voting public, and then to simply walk away from it after they've been elected. So, you know, there's a lack of integrity really in the leadership, and you can see that in the RNC. You know, talking about the idea of traditional marriage, you know, and wherever you're at in that position, but the party itself has hired, LGBT activists inside the party to advocate, and so they see that as an outreach program. In reality, they don't hire people who are traditional marriage advocates who are trying to fight for traditional marriage inside the party leadership. So you can see at the very core of the party, there is something desperately wrong when it comes to advocating for social issues. What I would say is that we need to be the party of freedom. Yeah. You know, the freedom to be born, the freedom to live your life the way that you want, the freedom to start a business, and the freedom to prosper, the freedom to educate your children the way that you see fit. These are freedoms that really we need to advocate for. We need to get away from the idea of party politics and really look at the party should be advocating in the direction of freedom and educating people on where their constitutional rights are and how to protect those.
We have a question here.
Yeah, I got a question myself. I'm Gary Stevens, by the way, the news director here, and it's more of a political question. I'll ask both of you. Both of you, Todd, you want to be, you know, you're thinking about running for the lieutenant governor. You're considering it, and of course, Dave Ajima is the Republican National Committee man. There are those on the other side of the aisle, most notably Mark Schauer, the presumptive Democratic gubernatorial nominee, who quote unquote are chortling over what might be what they perceive as a division in the Republican ranks. Todd is thinking about possibly running for the lieutenant governorship. Wes Nakagiri has already tossed his name into the hat, and they say, well, they're split and divided, and what if they get it? Not all the Republicans are going to rally behind them, and we have a better chance of getting the governorship. How do you respond to those who say the Democrats might come out the winner if there is divisiveness or a split situation where maybe Rick Snyder is the Republican gubernatorial nominee, but it is not Brian Kelly, his running mate?
Well, the way that I would respond to that, you got to kind of look at the governor's strategy. And I was asked this just yesterday, what is the strategy behind the governor's reelection? And the best I can see, and I'm just a novice, I'm just a guy that, you know, is trying to work towards saving the country. Nobody funds me. I simply go out and try to advocate for the right things, and I believe that's advancing conservatism and liberty and freedom and personal responsibility. That being said, the governor in his reelection is really focused on really tacking hard to the left. He started out with right to work, and that really was a bad political move for a general election for the governorship. So he essentially moved to the left. Now, you can say he wanted to move to the left, or he moved there politically, or whatever the reason, but all of the advocacy after that was moving and tacking him to the left, which were things that really would appeal to people that were independent. You have the third in the Republican Party, a third of the voters are Republican, are going to vote that way, even if you put a dead body on that side. You have the same thing on the Democrat side, and you have that third in the middle that is essentially swayable. So the governor's team, and I don't, no one has told me this, but just me looking at it, is that you have the governor essentially moving into a spot where he has become more and more moderate on those positions. So essentially the calculation is that they'll get two independent voters for every one conservative voter that might stay home, but that conservative voter is never going to vote for Schauer. So essentially they're closing the field and shifting the whole dynamic, the paradigm for the campaign to the left and cutting off Schauer from being able to run around the left side of him.
And I'd like to add to that, I was in the legislature when Schauer was there. I'm just going to tell you, and it's probably going to cause you to get a few phone calls here. By the way, if you want to ask any questions, 395-1450, feel free to call. But Schauer will be Granholm on steroids if he gets into that position, and this is not going to go well. If you like what's going on nationally, you'll love what's going on in the state if he wins that position. Snyder has done some good things with some of the help of us in the legislature. We helped push for the right to work, and he's done a lot of things cutting back on some expenditures. However, I would say, personally, my attitude towards expenditures in the state of Michigan has been, look at every budget – and go ahead and cut every budget, some of the unnecessary things, prioritize your spending, and at least freeze the budget. Don't make it bigger every year. It's gotten bigger every year. The first year, I think, was $2 billion, then $1 billion the next year, and $1 billion the next year. Just freeze it. If you just do that for 3 or 4 years, you'll be amazed how fast this state can turn around. And we are doing a fairly good job of turning around. Snyder has done some good things in that, and I want to give him some kudos for that. But anything else you'd like to say, Todd?
Yeah, I would. I think, and I know we're going to a break here in just a second, but I would just say in on that vein is that what we have to look at is that right now we have, you know, we might have a half a million or a million less people in the state, and a lot of those were producers. And so not only has our budget gotten bigger by probably $5 billion over this time, over what Granholm was actually spending, but now we have a situation where we have less and less producers in the state, more and more dependents. So it isn't even really the same composite as far as the producers to those people who are on the system. And you have to kind of look at that as well.
We're coming up on a hard break here. This is Dave Ageman sitting in from Juke Vanoss on Holland's hometown
station.
Part of the daily fabric of your life, the Holland Zeeland area turns to 1450 WHTC Holland and online at WHTC.com.
And this is Dave Ageman sitting in for Juke Vanoss once again. We have a caller on the line. You're hot on the line there. Go ahead with your question.
Great. Mr. Ageman.
Yes, ma'am.
And your guest.
Yes.
Now, I consider myself to be a conservative, and we had a mantra in the last election, less government, less taxes. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a so-called nerd in our office, and a lot of us folk are not for him. He has done nothing but raise taxes since he's been in. He raised the income tax. He taxed the senior pensions. He has currently doubled the license fees for fishing and hunting. He has doubled the senior fee to get into the state park. Now, those are just a few. Now, I don't call that conservative, and I'm really upset with him. So, who do you vote for? Shower? You say he's going to be Granholm on steroids? I don't know. We got one in there now who's a Granholm on steroids.
Well, trust me on that one. It will be considerably worse. It would be the difference between, for example, what you have in Obama right now with all the things he's trying to increase. The difference is great. I would agree. I don't agree on a lot of those issues you just brought up. And the legislature has to go along with that.
I know, and they did.
And they did. And some of those people that did that, it's your job to call up your legislator and say, hey, you're not happy about that. And some of those people actually that voted for some of those things, I understand, are going to get primaried. So people are upset. What do you think about this, Todd?
Well, I appreciate the call. I think what we really have is we have a lack of leadership. Honestly, there's a lack of leaders that are willing to step forward and honestly address the real issues of our time. You don't hear people talking about selfless leadership or humility or really courage or grit when it comes to their legislators.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those words you could attach to Dave Ageman in his time in the House for sure, but there just is such a lacking in that area. Most of them are more concerned about getting reelected or filling their pack or what it will look like in the polls. And so you have people who are really, you know, giving away goodies. That's essentially what it is, to be able to buy votes. And, you know, we have a situation where our country is in a desperate spot, and nobody is really talking about that. We have, you know, our state itself, you know, we're going down a road where we're going to have what government dependence of 1 out of 5, 1 out of 4 people? I mean, is that really where we're going as a state? We have no opportunity for young people, really none. They're living at home. They're not starting. I think you're spot on in your concern. What I would say is there are some great candidates that are running for House. There are a couple that are actually primarying people who voted for Medicaid expansion. So we have 3 people that are at least getting primaried this cycle. And those candidates are stepping into it as activists and really need support from the grassroots and from the conservative movement. And that's where you can put your energy, because if you have a bulwark in the House, it will stop the governor from being able to move forward any of these other agenda items.
Well, they give him the stamp of approval on everything. Now, you take Amanda Price, for instance. She's voted for the Common Core. She's voted for raising taxes. She does all this, and it's wrong. That's not why she was sent there.
That's absolutely right. What happens is you have to remember that some of these folks, you know, in the background, they're not conservative to begin with. And if you weren't conservative and you aren't convicted by your conservatism, meaning that's really at your core, then you're just using touch words to get elected. A lot of times these folks are actually in the background being put forward by the unions themselves. because they know in right-leaning districts that you can't actually get a Democrat elected. So when you see these folks siding with sort of the big government expansion, Democrat policies under a Republican label, they are rhinos. And you have to move in the direction of not supporting them, of calling them out, of making it a point to support people who will oppose them. You have to do it. It's party discipline. We have an intense fellowship in the Republican Party. Our party is a party of ideas. So essentially people say we're at war. We're not at war. We're having a family discussion about really where are we going to go, and that's absolutely critical for us. So we need to, as a party, we need to have this discussion, and we need to, in the primary process, get rid of those folks who do not represent our brand and our ideals correctly. So thank you for the call.
And this is Dave Ageman sitting in for Juke Vanoss, Holland's hometown station, 1450.